Friends, today Jesus stresses perhaps the most fundamental aspect of the spiritual life, the necessity to pray always without becoming weary. Without becoming weary. Prayer is our spiritual oxygen. It's the spiritual air we breathe. It's essential for us, just like oxygen is. We're gonna die without oxygen. We're going to spiritually die without prayer. But it not only sustains us personally, but also the whole church too. Without prayer, there is no church. It doesn't exist. Yeah, there's going to be structures maybe if we stop praying, but the church doesn't exist. And yet, it's hard for us to pray always, right? It's not easy. The Lord knows that. We get tired. Sometimes we get discouraged, distracted, confused at times. What's going on here? I don't understand. And perhaps worst of all, we don't always get what we want. And that causes us to get tired and discouraged and confused oftentimes. What? Right? However, God will always answer your prayers every time. Never an exception. Offering what you need versus what you want. Bummer, right? We want Him to give us everything we want. Yet, the more you pray, the more you want what you truly need. Your will becomes more and more like His. Now, the primary thing you need is relationship with God. The primary thing is a relationship with Him. And this is also the best thing that you can possibly have. Marvelous. Intimate relationship with the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Plus, praying always means always being in relationship with Him. That's exactly what prayer is, engaging in relationship with Him. So never become weary in seeking this beautiful relationship. Jesus also points out in that same gospel passage that justice is essential for relationship with God, which is precisely why He wants justice to be done speedily for you, as we heard, speedily. So what is justice? We have to answer that question first. It's giving to the other what he or she deserves. That's the most basic definition, right? Giving the other his or her due. But let's look at it in a Christian sense. That's when it's taken to its fullest pitch. And so first, let's ask, well, what do we deserve from God? Jesus says that he's going to do justice speedily for us. Well, so what do we deserve then? Well, we deserve a kick in the pants from God, right? Or worse. That's really what we deserve. Yet, what does He give us? Jesus, crucified and risen. That's what we get. That's not what we deserve, but that's who He gives us. Now, from our perspective, we owe God everything. That's what He deserves from us, but we can't ever pay it. So out of love, His Son pays the price for us. It's beautiful. This, brothers and sisters, is true justice, brought to its fullest pitch. Total self-emptying love for the other to reconcile differences. Instead of demanding that the other, yeah, you owe me, you wronged me, you need to do something to make it right, reaching out to the other to bridge the gap. It's beautiful. It's radical. It's marvelous. But that's what Jesus does. That's why He went to the cross. And we're meant to walk in His footsteps. This gift is not easy for us to accept, though, much less to give it. To accept that we know is going to bring change, it's going to bring transformation in our life if we accept this self-emptying love of Jesus. So if we can't accept it, how are we going to give it? It's a tough, tough dynamic. Therefore, you need to pray without becoming weary that you can indeed live this way, enjoying wonderful intimate relationship with God and with your brothers and sisters through this relationship with our Lord. Today's first reading gives a great tutorial for the power of trusting in God and turning to Him always. We see this great scene with Moses and the Amalekites in battle with Joshua down in the lowlands. When we look up to Him and trust in Him, we move forward in battle against even the fiercest of our enemies. The Amalekites were no slouches that the Israelites are fighting today. But for our enemies, think of our sins. Think of our struggles. Think of our sorrows and our grief. The things that really pull us down in life. God's going to win the battle against them. We just need to look to Him. Look up. I don't know if Joel Bukowski is still here. He was here before Mass, but in his email signature, it always says, keep looking up. It's wonderful. But when we grow tired or get discouraged, then what happens? Then we look away from Him oftentimes and downward to ourselves. Then we focus on ourselves and not on Him. We focus on our wants, our fears, even our abilities. Oh, I can take care of this. I don't need the Lord for this one, right? And then things don't go so well. As we saw, Moses' arms go down, the Amalekites have the better. Moses' arms are up, they mow him down, we heard. God wants to mow down our enemies too, not people. Think of it in a spiritual sense. The psalmist in today's responsorial further encourages us to focus on our God, who, as we heard, neither slumbers nor sleeps. He always is on the watch to guard your coming and your going, to keep you safe from all evil. From all evil. You just need to say yes over and over in prayer. Keep saying yes and allow Him to do it. He wants to do it. He will do it. He delights in doing it. So yes, keep your eyes raised to Him and sing with the psalmist, my help is from the Lord. Not from me, not from any creature comforts. My help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. St. Paul, as he often does, gives us very practical guidance in today's second reading for walking this very same path. Remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, he commands. He's referring to being schooled by the sacred scriptures, which, as he says, are capable of giving you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith in Christ Jesus. That's the kicker at the end there. So these aren't just words on a page. They aren't just great words, inspiring words for us to study. Yes, I mean, they are that, but so much more. But we only see that so much more through faith in Jesus. Requires our faith to unlock the full potential. Our human reasoning alone can only get us so far. Faith takes it to its fullest pitch. Paul continues, all scripture is inspired by God. Inspired by God. These aren't just stories that some man or woman cooked up. They're inspired by God. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for refutation, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the one who belongs to God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Scripture isn't just meant for us personally, we see. It is. I mean, it's meant to nourish us very deeply on a personal level, but also to be lived out throughout our lives and shared so that others too can be competent and committed to righteousness and good works. This is why Paul insists. He insists that you be persistent in proclaiming the word, sharing the good news, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Whether in season or out of season, we hear in another translation. Sharing it always. Convince, reprimand, and encourage through all patience and teaching. Paul qualifies his statement. So he's not talking about beating people over the head with the Bible, shouting people down, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe what I believe. That's not what he's getting at. With all patience and teaching, reaching out to those and sharing this wonderful news, but not backing down either, whether it's in season or out of season, whether it's difficult or whether it's easy. That's what he's talking about. We're always called to go out and to share that. And we're all capable of doing this. God gives us all the grace we need, and he calls us to do it according to our own vocations. So it only can happen according to his will and with his help. Paul wasn't running around on his own. He didn't become the greatest evangelist by his own volition. It was working, allowing God to work in and through him that this happened. And also, fear not, you don't need to be a scripture scholar. I'm certainly not. All you need is to be a student of scripture, just a lover of the sacred scripture, and be attentive to the faithful students who have gone before you. And church tradition is littered with these students, especially the church fathers. They had a very amazing and beautiful insight, a way to delve into the scriptures. We can learn a lot from them, but all the way up until the present day, guys like Scott Hahn, Bishop Barron, there's a Brant Petrae, there's a whole bunch of scholars, even in this day and age, that we can learn from. And there's a bunch of non-scholars too. There's a bunch of them here in this room that we can learn from each other about God's wonderful word for us. Friends, far too often we settle for far too less. We look for things like power, for influence, sometimes for alcohol, for drugs, for sex, these kinds of things. Even vices aside, we want comfort. We want to be comfortable. We want to have nice things. Which, those aren't terrible desires, right? But we seek these things in prayer, trying to get God to give us whatever we want. We basically give him a wish list and say, all right, God, go to work. This is what I want. And then when we don't get that, boy, we get angry, right? Meanwhile, what's God doing? He wants to give us so much more. As a matter of fact, he wants to give us everything. But in our brokenness, we get frustrated and impatient, thinking that he's depriving us. Come on, Lord, you didn't give me everything I wanted. This is terrible. You know, what kind of God are you? But he's not depriving us. Not at all. Back to Paul here. If you remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, which is scripture, and then tradition helps us to better understand scripture, praying always so that your heart is increasingly open to God's grace, then you will be increasingly filled with his peace and joy and increasingly walk in the glorious freedom of his beloved children. And that's how we're meant to live. That's what we're created for. You will desire the great spiritual treasures that he always offers you instead of grasping for mere earthly things. But God will satisfy your earthly needs too. However, you're going to trust in him to take care of this instead of being preoccupied with these things, being distracted, pulled away from him. And you will flourish. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, brothers and sisters, don't grow weary. Instead, persist in prayer. Persist. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord, as we hear the psalmist in that's Psalm 27, one of my favorites. The Lord won't leave you hanging. I can guarantee it. And so in conclusion, let us return to that marvelous opening prayer that we heard today. It's pretty short, but it encapsulates everything that we're reflecting on here. So I give it back to you for your consideration and prayer. Almighty ever-living God, grant that we may always conform our will to yours and serve your majesty in sincerity of heart.